Let's get ready to wrinkle!
Zero.
I want to get another fat sweet beat going.
I'm
feeling musical tonight.
Oh, I'm trying to read you guys. Shut up.
No,
I'm really good at music stuff.
Oh crap! I don't know what you're beatboxing. I don't have any words.
That's polka.
Maria, I just met a girl named Maria. Wait, no, that doesn't work.
I feel pretty. No. Oh, so pretty. I feel pretty and witty and gay.
Whoa. That's
it means happy, Garrick.
Yeah,
it means happy, especially
happy, Garrick.
Okay. Especially happy for mid 20th century Puerto Ricans in the inner city. Okay.
The Sharks and the Jets, baby.
Yeah. Oh, I was thinking of West Side Story earlier, as a matter of fact.
Oh.
I was sitting out on the porch, see?
Leave it to Corey.
I was out there on the porch. No, honestly,
you're more of a Jet.
Yeah, I am.
You're totally a Jet.
I am a Jet. I'd love to be a Shark, but I'm a Jet. I'm a thumb snapping, you know. Hey, I can't snap to save my life. I was out on the porch, thank you. And there was a royal rumble going on in the backyard between Blue Jays and Robins.
They tend to do that.
Blue Jays are the worst.
Oh man, we always have Blue Jays. Like,
they're buttholes.
We have them in the dead of winter, we have Blue Jays. And in the winter, there's no other birds to fight, so they pick fights with the squirrels. And I'm just like, you guys just have to fight somebody no matter what's going on.
Kidding me?
No, I'm totally serious. I've seen them go down and like literally like smack a squirrel onto its back. And today the robins were out. Wow. And the robins are great because the robins will just like gang up in a group of four to fight a single blue jay. And there
were me, bro.
I know. There were like two or three blue jays, and one of them was doing like this freaky weird dance. And I just watched the first episode of Planet Earth earlier today. So like I was, you know, those weird birds that like hold up their feathers and look like they have like a smiley face and they hop around, you know, whatever. Anyway, if you're not familiar
did you crank up your phone with Rockin' Robin on it?
Heck yeah. Anyway, so there was at one point I saw three robins dive bomb one of the blue jays. The blue jay jumps up on the tree and starts like screaming, like its whole body convulsing while it's screaming at the robins. And then another blue jay comes out of nowhere holding a shiv. I'm not kidding.
What?
Yes, holding a shiv. Oh, no, honestly, this thing like swooped down.
Shivs now. We're all dead.
I know. Swoops down right behind the robins and like spun on one foot and stuck its wing out and literally smacked one of the robins. This is I'm joking about the shiv, not joking about the smacking. And the robin like freaks, like starts screaming like it's like a blackbird. It's like, gah, 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 gah. Like, I've never seen a robin do this, hopping in circles. And the other ones took off. And then that blue jay took off after him. And the other blue jay is like, yeah, and jumps on, takes off after him. I was like, this is like better than TV. I'm watching like birds fight for supremacy. The whole time I'm sitting going, I wish I already had my phone out. And then a minute later, I probably should have pulled my phone out. And then a minute later, I'm going to get my phone. Oh, it's over. But it was really it was heart pounding action, Mike. Heart pounding action. I don't want you to get too excited, but it was really exciting.
Okay.
I'm just saying. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to Fly Casual episode number 39, where we are going to be talking about reviews of the latest comic bookery and rumors in the world of Star Wars. Welcome to your favorite Star Wars podcast. I'm your host, Mr. Corey T. Wilson. Over there fiddling with toys, iPads, whatever. I can't see what his hands are technically doing. Is Mr. Michael J. Archbold.
Hello, Corey T. Wilson. I am looking at the show notes right now.
Oh, are you?
Yeah.
Are you?
I'm pulling them up.
They can't exist.
I just got back from Twitter. But
How's Twitter doing?
Twitter's doing all right.
Yeah? How was your flight?
It was okay.
Yeah?
It was okay.
You run into any Blue Jays?
No Blue Jays.
You don't
thankfully.
Want it. You don't want thankfully. That. That's nasty, nasty business. But over there, cross pond down a few, Mr. Garrick, not Jay Hardy.
You know, in fact, I think Rockin' Robin was actually on Jaybird Street, right?
I do believe that's true.
So it does make sense.
Yeah, that's true.
But I'm doing all right. I'm back from a farm and I'm doing great.
Yeah.
I milked a goat.
That's
great.
Okay.
That's great. Did the goat consent?
Yes.
You have to think a little.
As much as a goat can, I guess.
He had to talk to it a while. But
is that why you were in Kentucky, or were you in Kentucky and because you were there, they forced you to milk a goat?
Yeah. I don't think anyone chooses to be in Kentucky.
Why you always tell me to milk a goat?
Yeah. Why you always tell me to milk a goat, man?
I just asked where the nearest gas station is.
You want to know where we... That's what it is. Y'all want to know where we keep the gas. Why don't you come on over here and milk this here goat?
I got some here in this barn here.
You get a liter of milk out of this goat, I'll give you all the gas you need, boy.
A liter of milk?
Guys with banjos over there.
Them's my terms. And over at Master Control is Mr. Stephen J. Howie.
Did you guys know that I'm a big fan of Star Wars?
When did this happen?
I've seen that.
I thought you were just on this podcast because...
Rebel.
We don't know. Rebel.
Yeah. Well, that is true, but stuff.
Star Wars.
Yeah.
Stuff. It's a Star Wars podcast.
Reads the novels with me. He's the only other one.
The only other one that reads and quotes.
We're not going to talk about Lords of the Sith tonight.
We talked. No. We thought about it. We considered it.
I still think we should.
Well, Mike, tough.
All right.
How about that?
Let me just say,
I'll vote it again.
Let me just
say, we'll see you next time, folks. Bye.
Oh, my word. Oh, my word. If you don't pick this up and read it or listen to it, you're a fool.
You're dumb. You're dumb.
I'm foolish. I have to get out of the fool pool.
So for our next, two episodes from now, when we do review it, you can all be on board.
That's right. We're giving you another 2-week reprieve before we talk about it and spoil the heck out of that book. Yeah.
I will feel no shame in spoiling the heck out of that.
Like,
we're giving you fair warning.
We're giving you such an advance warning. We're telling you 2 podcasts in advance that we're going to spoil something 2 podcasts from now. Now, we won't tell you during that podcast. Then. We're just springing on you. So if you're a new listener, at that point, you're screwed.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. You should listen to this one.
Yeah.
Yeah. If you're a new listener in 2 weeks, because you wouldn't be listening right now.
Right. But if you are listening right now, hey. Quickly, while you're listening, hop onto Twitter and make sure you follow us under there, because that's where a lot of the hot discussions going on. And a lot of the things that we're going to talk about tonight are things that we have a lot of back and forth with other listeners on there. And of course, that, of course, is curated by
Steve Potter, foreign correspondent in the UK.
Mr. Steve Potter.
Yes.
Who we recently discovered is far more than our social media guy. He's also
writes the show.
Yeah.
He writes my script, basically.
Yeah. This show wouldn't exist without
him. We've outsourced this entire show to Britain. This is a question of the ages. You're talking about someone who lives on the, jolly old England, that island over there, right? Is it the UK? Is it Britain? UK. Or is it England?
Yes.
Whenever
England's just the country, Britain is the whole island, and the UK includes Ireland, maybe?
Northern Ireland. How many times I got to tell you guys this?
Northern Ireland.
How many times? Sorry, Mike's like, oh my gosh. Do you guys even listen to our geography podcast?
If I'm wrong, I'm sorry. I don't know anything.
Because I never hear
totally the Irish are over there getting really pissed off right now.
First off, my understanding is that nobody self-identifies as English. Is that not true?
The English do.
Well, I always hear people self-identify as British or a Brit.
Maybe they're from Scotland.
Is that like the difference between someone saying I'm an American versus
Call themselves Brits.
I'm an Indian. No. Well, no, but I'm not talking about Scottish people. I'm specifically talking about people that live around in the country what has London in
it. And what about Wales? What's up with that?
Oh, they're Wailish.
It's like an animal that they named a country.
Welsh.
No, Wailish. Wailish.
Welsh. Welsh.
You don't even read.
No. Yeah, I listen and I hear it spoken.
You Welsh tot!
I hear it pronounced correctly. Longbow.
This is something that has haunted me my whole life. And there's only one man I've ever heard who was actually like my old boss's boss in my old job, who, if you said British, he's like, I'm not British, I'm English. And I'm like, but you're from there. How can you not be?
Yeah, I've heard of it.
Doesn't one beget the other?
Yeah, there was another guy I met who referred to himself.
Maybe the British or the female English.
Okay, well then that settles it. We've got to get Steve Potter right on the show.
Right, right.
And ask him.
Which we have been trying to do for some time. Get him cornered and say, all right, listen.
Corner him.
We're going to solve
on the mic.
This is information no one has allowed America to have post-American Revolution.
Breaking news.
All you guys are a mystery to us.
All the sites that are covered by all that cover this are blocked by Homeland Security. We can't get to them.
You know, Tuesday we're going to get a tweet about this.
Oh, yeah. Is it going to wait all the way till Tuesday?
Well, Twitter's going to explode. I mean, Tuesday.
Yeah, this coming Tuesday.
Yeah.
Don't break the fourth wall! Anyway.
Dang it, Howie.
It's going to be a long one, so why don't we hop straight into review?
Oh, yes. Reviews.
Hot reviews.
Oh, hot steamy reviews.
So, that's Lords right. of the Sith, what'd you guys think?
Spoiler alert.
Vader, your mom
Vader,
does not die.
Vader's in it. Yeah, Vader,
Vader
dies
doesn't
the
die.
End.
Oh. Yeah,
the Emperor also barely, he makes it as well. So, yeah. Sorry, I ruined the end.
Oh. Oh.
Yeah.
Oh. Oh. So, okay, review so, that. What's next?
All right. Princess Leia, number three.
Number three.
Oh, I'm going to do my quick review so Corey's wife doesn't okay. get me on the phone.
No, you know what? I'm going to look at a quick review of Princess Leia, number three, as being in my own best interest.
Yeah.
Not okay, so far, I am not on board for the Princess Leia comic series.
Princess Leia, number three. Okay.
All right.
Ready for that stopwatch. Here we go.
I got it. It's and go.
Well, there was Review Sullust done. In it.
Yeah, Sullust. And okay.
Sullust was in it. That's it. That's all I got.
All right.
Hey, I think there's a mention of Nar Shaddaa, too, isn't there? Okay. Oh, no. That was something else. Never mind.
But Princess Leia, number three, the art was so-so. The story was... I don't even know. I can't even come up with words of how I felt.
She headbunting any other giant aliens?
No, she's jumping off stuff, firing lasers. R2-D2's there.
Disarming dudes.
A car from somewhere. I don't know.
Princess Leia, so many, action star.
So many holes in it that I couldn't even follow what was going on. It was horrible.
How was the panel management? That's going to be my new question for comic reviews. How easy to follow are the panels? Because, I'm becoming sensitive to that.
They're easy to follow.
Yeah.
They're pretty easy to follow. It's just the dialogue. And I mean, this from the first issue, it's kind of been a huge letdown for me. And I'm really disappointed because
you're not the only one.
I really wanted this to be awesome.
There's a lot of people saying those
things. People are trying to, you know, I guess in reviews on trying to make it worth reading, but I just can't do it. I at this point, I think I'm just going to keep buying them for the collector value.
You know, I predicted this from just our description of the first one, or maybe it was the second one, but now I'm at the point where I don't want to be this right. I don't want to be right about, because what it looked like is that they're just going to completely abandon all of the great stuff about Princess Leia and make her an action superhero.
And that's, I don't know, maybe it's my, I don't know, misogynist streak coming through or something.
It's
I really don't see Princess Leia as this huge action star jumping off platforms into pits, shooting blasters at stormtroopers whilst falling, and taming creatures to attack stormtroopers and wiping an entire Imperial regiment out. I just don't see that.
No,
the funny thing is I would accept that of Princess Leia if this was post Return of the Jedi and she was getting some Jedi training and stuff like that.
This is the Princess Leia
we know. She's 19 years old, right? In A New Hope, and she, you know, we just got done with, you know, Yavin 4 and all that stuff. So she's a politician.
Yeah,
I mean, she was a senator. I mean, and now suddenly. Just like Garrick saying, jumping off platforms, disarming people.
I think it would be trained in combat. I think it's more misogynist to assume that that's the only way to make her an established character interesting is to make them an action star. No one at this table is saying, to my knowledge, that you can't have a female action star. Because we love the female action stars in Rebels.
Absolutely.
We love the female action stars in Clone Wars. We really like the female action stars.
Black Widow.
But this character. Yeah. Oh, by the way, thank you, Garrick. For everyone who is whining and complaining about of Josh Whedon's treatment of Black Widow in Age of Ultron, can I just say, get a job. Go out and find something to do. Because look at the source material that he's pulling from. I don't mean look at Black Widow's comic series. I mean, look at Black Widow as a member of any team in Marvel Comics. Does she get as much treatment as she did in this movie? No.
Nah.
No. this movie, Joss Whedon did a good job given what has come before. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. All the superpower dudes, they're all, you know, most of them are all white dudes except for, you know, Falcon and War Machine. But I that's a strong character, and I will go. Well, I will go.
Hulk's green.
That's true. I will go fisticuffs that. With anybody who says that Black Widow wasn't a strong character. I loved it. And yes. No, it was. Was it as big and important as some of the other characters? Maybe not. But my gosh, how can you come down on the guy for that? Anyway, because you got to compare things against the established precedent. And that's what I want to do here with Princess Leia. She's an existing character.
Yep.
She has strengths.
Yep.
That are awesome.
Yes.
And by devaluing those and saying that she needs to be more like the other characters,
right?
That's misogynist to me. If someone thinks that you have to, you know, if you have to burn the bra to show that a woman has, you know, depth and value and can be fully interesting, that's what pisses me off,
right?
You know, I'm on the side of all the women who go, hey. You know, being a stay-at-home mom's an important job. I agree. I was a stay-at-home dad for a while. Most exhausted I've ever been in my life. But the fact of the matter is, Princess Leia is an awesome character, and by completely abandoning her awesomeness to make her into another Luke or Han?
Yeah.
What? Yeah. What?
Here's the what? Here's the thing about it, too. I mean, because she's not... It's not like you can't do any action with her. You can. We've seen that. I mean, we've seen that in all three of the original... trilogy movies. You know, she can handle herself with a blaster. She can, you know, she's comfortable in those situations, but she's not flipping around and she's not ninja kicking and she's not jumping off platforms.
Imagine she's got like a team of two or three other chicks who kick a lot of butt and are actiony, and she's the mastermind directing them and telling them what to do. That makes more sense.
They kind of set that up here. And it was because they hooked her up with this other character, the tall blonde pilot. Yeah.
Herbrosis.
Right.
Herbrosis, right. And that's another thing that really disappointed me is this Yvonne character. And I was really interested.
She's not really doing anything,
she
is she?
She's just cardboard.
She's that's useless.
She just carries her around, throws her at things. She shoots a blaster in the background. I'm like, come on.
Right.
Explore her character more. Tell me more about her.
Absolutely.
And basically, she's just a sick.
Now compare.
Syncophant. Can't even
compare that character with what they're doing with Dr.
New with Garrick.
You just need to make one.
I need to make one for all of us at this point.
No, take this character, though, the Princess Leia sidekick in this, and compare it to Dr. Aphra in the Darth Vader comic.
Absolutely.
Dr. Aphra is very deep, and I mean, they're really developing that character.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Not even touching this character.
Is this Princess Leia comic meant to just appeal to tween girls? Do they think they can't?
I don't know who their audience is.
Yeah, because my next point would be because that's a misstep. Not trying to appeal to them, but thinking that they would only be into this action garbage, you know, which, and I'm sorry, I'm going to call it garbage because I don't like the art. I don't like the story. And I haven't sat down and read any of them cover to cover, but they kind of irritate me.
Here's my thing. I can tell you what they're trying to do. What they're trying to do is they know that comic books generally appeal to boys and men, males. And I think they're trying to take this character and turn it into a Black Widow or something that you, like you were saying before, that we like.
But they're taking away the depth. Black Widow.
I understand.
She's a BA, but she spends as much time talking and tricking. You know, my favorite scene in the first Avengers, my favorite scene is the scene with Loki. Okay, and he's in the Hulk jail on the helicarrier.
She's crying.
And she walks up and talks to him, and he's totally playing her. And I remember seeing that in theaters and going, really? This is dumb. Black Widow's cooler than that.
Yeah, she
is. And it was like, oh, she was playing him the whole time.
Right.
That was awesome. Like, Banner, what? That's your play? You know, that was so great. Yep. And that's the kind of stuff that I think, even with Princess Leia here, that kind of thing, seeing her outsmart all the dudes, outsmart everybody.
Exactly.
That would be awesome. Right. Seeing her being like a master strategist.
Because
she's the one in the command room with General Riken. Corey mispronounced yours on Hoth. You know what I mean? Well, that's her role.
Well, think about this too, because in this comic, she's oftentimes she's kind of stumbling around and not really knowing what she's doing, kind of going, you know, by the seat of her pants. And I mean, but then I think back to like episode 4, you know, when Luke and Han rescue her out of her cell,
yeah,
she like takes over. She's like, you guys
immediately. You guys, I'm in charge.
Yeah, you guys.
The garbage chute.
You guys broke me out of here. You didn't have a way to get us out.
Someone get this walking carpet out of my way.
Right. And I mean, that's your exit.
That's Leia.
Yeah,
you know, that's just taking charge, making it happen. And she just seems too bumbly and stumbly in this thing, and too much of an action star. Yeah. You know,
and she loses her temper all the time.
Yeah,
what? I mean,
there's a few. Yeah, it's pretty bad. It's like they want her to be this angsty, I don't know, teenager that liked fighting.
Is this bro Leia?
Learning and
they wanted her diplomacy. They wanted her to have more of her
Bat dads. Bro. Leia, Bat Bro versus she Leia Bro.
More like her
Leia
dad.
Brogana. Come on, Mike. Leia it Brogana.
It was just there the whole time.
It was. It was us.
Sucks.
Yeah, so I'm disappointed. I'm sorely disappointed as being the flagship female character comic. I feel like this whole thing is a giant misstep. How long now? How long do we know how long a series this writer
it's
is
like
on?
Six,
for?
Right?
Yeah, I think it's five or I think it's five.
So,
maybe, so a couple more.
Theoretically, they could completely write the ship after this.
They got two episodes, two or three issues to do it.
Each issue the last is issue's basically the same.
Psych.
Each issue is she goes to a different planet. There's a cell of Alderaanian survivors there.
Right.
Stuff happens. They get them all off and leave.
That was the last issue.
Plot
the last time. Issue. Yeah. The Alderaanians followed her. This issue, the Alderaanians don't trust her. And it's,
they don't trust her. And then they take out some stormtroopers.
Yeah. Nope, and then they love her. You. Yeah. Now we love you. And, it's weird.
So probably the next couple issues, we'll see some more planets, I guess, come into canon is my guess. Which I guess is cool, but
see now I disagree a little bit on the art. I like the art.
Really,
I think it's drawn well and
well, it
looks
depends
good.
On which panel you're looking at.
But well, no,
yes, it looks really consistent.
That's true. Now, because if you remember my criticism of issue two was that it looked very just sketchy. It looked like it wasn't even drawn completely. But when they're on, they're on. As far as the art's concerned, but I completely agree that the dialogue is awful. The storyline is awful. You know, just the detraction.
How much does it suck that we get so excited about all these new Star Wars properties?
I wanted this to be
except
awesome.
Except for the one that is solely about a female character.
Right.
And here we are, the guys who are saying, Hasbro, where's my Hera action figure? We're the ones, we're not the only ones, but we're touting that same
flying that flag. Yeah.
We're tooting that same horn. But yet here we have. I mean, it seems like someone's asleep at the wheel on something that should be the defining moment where we're going, yes, this is, we are going to support the female perspective in all
We've
this.
Said this before. I mean, there's opportunities here. I mean, I think the female geekdom has grown so much. I mean,
huge!
Immensely over the last 10 years, especially.
Definitely. Yeah.
And it's like, oh, how can you guys be screwing this up, man?
I mean, seriously.
the thing is in the Star Wars main title, Princess Leia is written. Awesome.
Exactly right.
I mean, she has great dialogue. Yep. She has the quips with Han and Luke and
an appropriate amount of action for her. Yep.
Yeah. Where was that? Where is that Leia in her standalone comic?
So let me get this right. You guys aren't a big fan of this comic.
Not so far. Yeah. Not so much.
Howie, I don't know where you got that. I love it.
Wow.
I've tried, man. I mean, we've got two to three more issues, so we'll see what they can do. But I don't.
Yeah.
I mean, as far as I'm concerned, they've already. I mean, they know what this arc, how this arc's going to end. They're not going to change it now.
I don't know. Comics, man. At the end, you know, at the end of an arc, a writer leaves, the artists leave, a new writer and artist come in, and it just and tone can change completely.
Well, but this is a six issue set and then done.
It could be that she just wakes up from a dream.
So you're saying there's not going to be a Princess Leia 7.
Not ongoing.
Who knows?
Yeah,
it's not ongoing.
It'll be
right
called
now.
Princess Leia for reals.
I think not for reals.
Princess Leia return.
I mean, the only ongoing that we know for sure is going to be the Star Wars title and the Vader title, right? That's the only two that we know for sure.
I believe Kanan is ongoing.
God, I really, 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 really want them to continue Princess Leia, but do it right. Because right now, I feel like this is going to be looked back on as the redheaded stepchild.
Yeah,
of the group, which is so unfortunate.
Yes.
Anyhow, what's next on the docket?
Kanan number two.
Kanan number two-zle.
Kanan the last Padawan number two, I should say, if you want the full title.
The last Padawan learner? The
last Padawan. I don't know how anyone can possibly know that, but I guess he is the last Padawan. So here's my 1-minute-ish rundown of Kanan number two.
Here we go. And go.
Order 66 goes down. Balaba says, gives Kanan one final run before all the clones go all Quentin Tarantino on their and Kanan gets away into the woods and lives off the grid like a Jedi street rat. He doesn't buy that, like, you know, food and stuff.
Yeah.
A kind alien local guy feeds and washes him up and gives him a bed for a rotation. And Kanan is kind enough to pay him back by stealing a ship and blowing that popsicle stand of a planet to make his way to Coruscant in response to a Jedi summons home. He reverts to real space just in time to have Obi-Wan say, psych, just kidding, brah.
Go back. Stay away.
Go back. So Kanan number two, I am really liking... I guess in juxtaposition to Leia.
Man, that was like 45 seconds, dude.
I know.
That was it, man.
That was it.
Yeah, that's pretty much all that happened.
Goes pretty good.
Yeah, in juxtaposition to Leia, I think this comic actually is on point to, awesome, to be a really awesome series.
Yeah.
Because I've always been interested in the Order 66 going down, and I don't think in the Revenge of the Sith it was done justice.
No.
It's kind of like the EU where you really got a feel for everything, all the aftermath and all that from Order 66, how it really went down.
Yep.
Especially in the, I'm a big fan of the Republic Commando series.
Okay.
The video game as well as the books. And I think, you know, reading those books and then coming to this comic, it really is amazing. And you get the feels, like, you know, the how the Jedi went down and they didn't even see it coming, even though they're supposed to be these, you know, prescient people and supposed to know the future and stuff.
Hey, so, always in motion. The future is.
Yes, exactly.
Uh-huh.
So it's pretty cool to see it kind of like, you know, she says run, and that's basically were her last words to Kanan, kind of as we saw in the Rebels TV show with when Kanan was getting, you know, tortured by the Inquisitor to get information. He told him Deva Balaba's last words were run, which I thought was really cool how they put that in the book as well.
Right.
Yep.
Continuity.
Yeah.
It's
yeah.
all got to agree now.
She didn't say run, you fools.
Fly, you fools. Right.
But she said run.
So, Mike, you read this one as well. Right?
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Are you liking this series as much as I am?
I am. And I'm going to really enjoy this too, because I'll just say this. I mean, the gap between episode 3 and 4 is pretty wide right now. And we're getting some of it filled with Rebels. But Rebels happens, 4 years before A New Hope? So there's still a pretty big gap there. This series right here is going to be the one.
What? I'm laughing because it was the part of the podcast where you hit your microphone.
Okay. Okay. Moving on. This particular series is going to be the one that really fills the gap, in my opinion, from the Clone Wars to the Rebellion era.
Yes. You get kind of the underground, gritty underbelly of what's also going on while the high, you know, the Emperor is doing more, you know, on that global scale or whatever.
Right.
Or galaxy scale.
Yep.
So it's kind of cool to just see a guy just trying to survive, a Jedi trying to survive while dodging clone troopers and stormtroopers.
See, I still like seeing the clone troopers and stuff like that too. And I want to see more of the transition from the clones and the you know, Grand Army of the Republic to
stormtroopers,
you know, and things like that. How that takes place. Yeah. And I think we can see, hopefully we'll see some of that in this series. So.
I got to say, I'm going to make an admission.
Uh-oh.
Yeah. I don't know how I feel about this. I think I've just kept it quiet kind of subconsciously.
Are you making this a Fly Casual landmark episode with this admission?
Yes. No.
Uh-oh. Okay.
I am not that into the Kanan character.
What?
What about Caleb? Huh? Like Caleb?
Who's Caleb?
I'm kind of with you on that a little bit. I'm going to hear what you have to say, but I
don't dislike Kanan at all.
Right.
At all. The character is perfectly fine, serviceable, and I like things that they do with him in the Rebels TV show.
Yep.
Rebels. But I will say that he is, in my opinion, you know, I'm the guy who's been clamoring for years for more stuff, more Star Wars stuff without Jedi. And that's one of the, you know, it seems like the populace is slowly getting on board now that Rogue One is, you know, rumors are leaking out about Rogue One. People are like, yeah, and it's not even going to have Jedi in it. Yeah. And there's blogs that would have never said anything positive about Star Wars if there wasn't a lightsaber on the cover, who are going, it'll be really interesting to see this. And I'm going, yeah. To having that perspective and having had that perspective for, you know, decades at this point, more than a decade, Kanan just is from my point of view, another Jedi that survived Order 66. And before I knew, before Order 66 was a thing that we knew about, he's just, I mean, he would be in that context, he's just another guy with a lightsaber. And I don't find him very interesting at all. And here he is, of all of the new characters we've gotten, he's getting more treatment in this new canon than anybody else. You know, other than the,
now,
the
to be fair, you didn't read the book.
I did not read the book that preceded preceded Rebels and stuff like that. And but I think in that way, I'm representing the mass of the populace.
Yeah.
Where it, of people who are aware of Kanan, the, most of them are just from the TV show that they're aware. And that's where I am. Other than the fact that I also get all of this from you guys. And I want to like him more because of how prominent a figure they're making him. But I still don't feel motivated to. Like, if I was really into him, I'd want to go back and read the book.
Yeah, then I read think, the I comic, think I know man.
Where how if I was to, really into him, I'd want to read the comic.
Because Kanan, his real name's Caleb Doom. That was it, but he took on the name Kanan. His whole character up until Rebels was to not be a Jedi, to shove that down deep.
Right.
Where he didn't have to call on the Force or use his lightsaber or anything. So it's, I guess, kind of, you might enjoy it later on because he's not a Jedi, really.
He's not really a Jedi.
He's just a Padawan. And,
right.
And he's not, he's
even as an adult,
use the Force. He doesn't want to do any of that. He just wants to be a normal dude
and
not get killed also by the Empire.
I'm going to get really razor thin. Then I have the whole thing of really another story about a dude what has superpowers, but really doesn't want to use them. Does he, you know, is he, does he wear well, really a backpack and go out and hitchhike along the road with his thumb out?
I don't know, man.
It's just another Hulk at that point. And I'm just, I think it's a little cliche.
Maybe, but this is a great transition character.
Yeah.
From a time where the Jedi were all powerful and everywhere and, you know, we just had our over smattering with the prequels to, you know, moving into the rebellion era where the Jedi are few and not all powerful. And I don't know. It's a good transition. Well,
and I think they wanted to create another series and not make it about being a Jedi.
That's what's going to happen. But it's still there. It's still a crutch. Not a crutch for the character, crutch for the writing.
I gotta agree with these guys on this on the book, because I read most of that book too. And I mean, really, he's not a Jedi at all in the book.
No. in the show, which is a cartoon that is, you know, kid friendly, he's a Jedi. Plain and simple.
He's becoming a Jedi.
Sort of,
he's,
but
no,
but
from that perspective of just the show, he's a Jedi.
Okay. But why is he a Jedi? Because of Ezra. That's the only reason. That's the only reason he's pulling any of that out.
It's clear that he was trying to hide it in the first few episodes, but I don't think it's clear that that's more than just, I don't want to flaunt that I'm a Jedi. I really think that the show would value, the character would value for the show to bring in some of more of Kanan's inner conflict.
Yeah, I think
the book really does.
Well, that's the thing. I think the show doesn't pull enough from the book.
Right.
Yeah. And I think that's where
I don't think it can. I mean, the show's got too many characters to deal with. And
right.
But you know what? Name the characters who get the least amount of exposition in the show. I mean, it's Kanan's not one of them. Kanan gets more exposition than anyone else, and they still fail to kind of scratch all of these intricacies. The best you get is when Yoda's all up in his head during the episode where Ezra gets the crystals for his lightsabers.
Sure. But that might be changing this season.
We're
hearing that that Sabine is going to have a lot of treatment this season.
Yeah. So, well, I mean, I'm not complaining. You know, I like how he said there's a lot of characters in the show, but I'm saying they give him a lot of screen time. They give him a lot of talking about the Force and stuff like that. Let him talk about himself. Let him talk about his story. Because, you know, if you're going to weave this continuity, this brilliant continuity that we keep talking about, that we keep bringing up, you have to have the hooks. This isn't stuff you can just lay out side by side. This is stuff that has to interlock.
He doesn't want to talk. I mean, from the very beginning with the book, he didn't want to talk about that.
Yeah.
So he's definitely very closed about his past.
Yeah. Well, I mean, and we got a little bit at the end there with the Inquisitor telling him, what are the last words your master said to you and stuff like that. There's some slight, you know, there's some Velcro, but no hooks yet. So I want to really get into this character because I know they're going whole hog on it. I'm still not, to me, he's still just a dude what survived Order 66. I'm not that interested. But again, I like characters built on characters, not characters built on Jedi. Oh, I'm a Jedi. That's great. You know, I like Ezra. Ezra is a kid who he's learning all about this and we're going through it with him, but he's still completely different in the way he is. There's something different about Ezra. But Kanan just seems like standard Jedi went down a dark path when he survived the purge.
See, I completely disagree with
good,
that.
Good. I'm glad. Maybe this is something that maybe as time goes on, and yeah. I find out how more wrong I am, then sure. I want to go look
well,
into
I,
it.
I think, I think it's interesting that you're the one who hasn't read the book, and,
right.
and the three of us at least. Well, I think that says a lot.
That's right. only the point I'm making. Yeah, that is only the point that I'm making, is that as someone who has not read them, I have no motivation to. And because I don't think it does enough to motivate.
You should at least try
me.
The comics, because these comics, the art is
they're
amazing.
Easy, right.
The dialogue is
oh, they're
is
easy.
Simple.
Thanks, Mike. What is it? See Kanan run. See Kanan pick up
it
the
has
ball.
Pictures, Corey.
No, I love I'm just agreeing with Garrick that, I mean, it's yeah, if you want to try to get this character, the comic is an easy way to do it. I mean, you're not reading a 200, 300 page novel. You're just getting some little bits here and there.
You saying I can't read a novel?
Do you want to read the novel?
Not really.
Okay, well then pick up the comic.
Listen to it, I guess, like Howie. Listen yeah, to it, man.
He has access.
I so. Really, really can. Yeah, and I'm gonna. I really will because. But I think long term success. I can talk about me. I'm committed to this stuff. Not everybody is, and I'm to get more people on board. My big thing is okay. We lost the EU. We lost it, guys.
Yep.
Like seriously, that's like. That's a friend that I'm closer to than most of my real life friends. That is, yeah. Oh, yeah. Think
I'm
about
with
it.
You. I you feel
think
the about same it. Way.
I mean, that's like literally a funeral I could hold and a eulogy I could give and be completely serious because of how much a part of my life, that and how much time I spent thinking, reading, all that stuff about that. That's gone. So now here we have this new EU that is actually part of the canon, darn it. that was worthy, but I want more people to get into it than were into the EU before. I want it to have a wider net that it casts. And I'm saying that if it can't interest me who am committed, already, how's
but
it going to interest
Kanan,
others?
It's not Rebels. Yeah. So Rebels does interest you.
Oh yeah, Rebels
so
is great.
So they can still get those people eventually to be
and
interested
you don't even
in
have
Kanan.
To,
if they do the right step,
exactly,
take the right
you
step.
Don't even have to do have, yeah. You don't even have to have watched Rebels to get into the Kanan comic, except for like the first page when they're on the ship. And even then, you don't really need to know who those characters
not really.
Are. Because basically, it's a standalone story. It doesn't really tie into Rebels, I would say, as of yet.
Right.
But I mean, I think it's a great platform for people who want to get into the EU, who don't know a lot and maybe have seen the prequel trilogies or something and want to know more about how the Jedi went down or something. I think it's a great platform to just get in there. And it's, like I said, it's easy to read. It's great art. And I don't know. I just can't say enough good things about it.
Yeah, it's great art. It's good. It's good dialogue. It's good storytelling so far. It's and again, for me, it's the transition. That's what I appreciate about it is that, you can't just go from 3 to 4. We got to fill in those gaps. And to me, this is doing a nice job of that so far.
After we watched the original trilogy, we didn't have the prequels. We were always like, how did the Jedi become non-existent? How did that happen?
Right.
And I don't even think the prequels really answered it.
Is this character crafted? Is this character crafted simply as a tool to help fill in that backstory?
No,
I don't think necessarily, but I think that they're using it that way now.
I mean, this is deeper review than we usually have time to even really dig into. I fully understand that, but it's something that, it's been stuck in my craw a little bit, and I knew it wouldn't be a popular opinion if I brought it up. But I mean, I really, really, really like the group in Rebels, but this is the character I am probably the least interested in knowing more about. I want to know more about Hera. I want to know more about Sabine. I want to know more about Zeb. I want to know more about freaking
Chopper.
I want to know more about Chopper. I could give two craps about
for
Kanan.
Me again. The rest of those guys. Yeah, fine. Okay. Yeah, Hera. Okay, whatever. But to me, Kanan's character directly bridges the gap. You know,
the gap between a known quantity and a known quantity. Well, yes. I want to know more about stuff I don't know.
Well, the thing with this is it isn't Kanan. Episode it's Caleb.
Seven.
And okay. Caleb is a totally different person, a different mentality, a different personality than Kanan. It's basically a totally different character that Kanan once was and became what he is now. So basically, you're not reading about Kanan. You're reading about Caleb Doom, which was his first name, his original name.
Yeah.
Right. So, I mean, you shouldn't really go into it with the eye of like, oh, this is Kanan.
Okay.
No, you should. It's Caleb. It's a young kid who just saw his master get murdered in front of him.
Yeah. You know what? That kind of helps. That in and of itself helps a little.
One of the cool things that I found about that particular scene when Order 66 is being executed, one of the cool things I liked about it is that both his master and him were like looking at the troop because they were just sitting around a campfire moments before. And they were calling each other by first names.
Right.
And one of the most gripping parts is one of the clones is named Styles.
And does he try to ride on top of the Teen Wolf?
No,
man?
He does not ride on top of the Teen Wolf.
Does he talk about the teacher who got caught in a vacuum cleaner?
Not so much.
Does he look for his pot stash in the garage?
Okay, are we done?
I really love Teen Wolf.
I know you do.
Not the MTV show. Anyway, thank God.
I'm glad you clarified.
Yeah, I sadly figured I had to.
But I mean, the scene where Depa Balaba dies. I mean, she dies because she looks at the clone and says, "Styles, you know," because they're like, "Go get the kid," and she's like, stops, you know, defending herself and says, "Stop." And she calls him by his name.
Yeah,
and then they gun her down. And to me, that's really gripping.
Yeah,
you know, because they're really. Go ahead.
Oh, Garrett. Sorry. I was going to say, with Caleb, he's never been by himself. He was taken when he was a baby to go to the Jedi Temple to be trained. So he's all of a sudden thrown into this world he has no idea about. And it's just him trying to survive having no knowledge of anything.
That's actually one of his inner dialogues is that it's like, all this training I have as a Jedi, he goes, they never trained me how to survive because I have no survival skills.
Yeah.
Everything's always been provided for me.
You see Kanan and he's basically like the, you know, lone wolf type character. He can survive on his own. And then this Caleb character is just
not that
like,
way.
I don't know what to do. I'm just, I don't know what I'm going to do. I'm just going to starve to death, I guess.
Yeah.
Well, you guys have definitely made a compelling case. What I hope is that, you know, what the mainstream audience sees in Kanan can make the same type of compelling case. You know, like more episodes of Rebels. I want more people to be attracted to this than just simply people who are stumbling across the comic and people who are committed like we are to exposing ourselves to as much of this as possible.
I love exposing myself.
I know it.
We know you.
Yeah, we know it. I mean, that's number two on your list as far as I'm concerned, but
number two.
I'm hoping that's the case. Does that wrap up reviews then?
Unless you want to talk about Lords of the Sith.
Mike. That means it's time for the Parkins Bite of the Week.
No.
Again?
Not again.
You know that they, all the clone troopers in episode 3, wasn't not a helmet, not a breastplate, not a shin guard, nothing physical. About a clone troopers in episode 3. What? Every single one of them was 100% computer generated.
Oh. So they
Thank you, George Lucas. Yes, you are right. That is correct.
There wasn't
not a
single clone trooper.
Wow.
Piece of armor.
We have talked at length about the over reliance in the prequels on CG.
Oh, my Lord.
There was not a single person in a clone trooper
not one
costume in that entire film.
Any of them. 1, 2 or 3.
No, there were a couple in costume in 2. I think Commander Cody actually had some armor on.
I don't think so.
Yeah, right before Obi-Wan jumps on the that was episode 3.
Yeah,
man,
there was not a stitch,
not a single stitch of clone trooper armor made for that film.
None.
What the frig? How do now, you get to the point where you're just like, you know what? Hey, do we need a set coordinator? Nah, we'll get it in post.
Hey, now we,
hey, I don't have a costume to wear. What it's should okay. I do? It's I no don't big have deal. A costume. We'll get
we're
it in post.
We're just going to scan your face.
We're just going to stitch
stand
you
right
in.
Over here. Come here.
Yeah, yeah. Here, just so go stand Padme in the paint booth in front of the green paint gun. You'll be fine.
When Padme jumps out, you know, is flying into that on that troop carrier and jumps out, she's just talking to nobody then because there's troops. In
either
no
that, or she was yes. talking
she
to.
She was talking to.
She
the
was talking Luke, to a bunch
George
of,
Lucas's green pool.
I was going to say she was talking to a bunch of Greendale human beings, you know, in the green lycra body suits at best.
No wonder she. Oh man.
Yeah, I know. I would have jumped out too. That's terrifying.
I'm out.
Not a single stitch of clone trooper armor in that movie.
You know what's funny is now we've got rubber puppets on the set of the Force Awakens.
Heck yes. There are puppets on that set yes. where J.J. Abrams has himself said
full circle
has himself said this puppet looks totally dumb, but there's something great about how dumb it looks.
Yes,
it doesn't look lifelike at all, but there's just something so great about that. Yes. And I'm sitting there going, amen, yes.
Thank you.
Brother. Yeah. Get me another season of Jim Henson's Creature Shop Challenge, please. Oh my gosh. All right.
Also have some serious mocap going on.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah, with Lupita Nyong'o completely dotted up into
and not Andy Serkis. Weird.
I know. I still. How do you have Lupita Nyong'o playing mocap and Andy Serkis not? What paperwork error caused that to happen?
Like, wait, what? Wait, what?
Oh my word! Well, that transitions nicely, as Howie was saying, into rumors. Boop. Boop, boop, boop. Hey,
oh, yeah.
Mike.
Hey, what?
What's going on in the land of...
I think he fell asleep.
Wake up, Mike.
Wait, what? Huh? Huh?
Yeah, rumors. What? What? Rumor time. Stop. Rumor time.
Stop.
Poke him with a stick.
Every time you see him.
Well, so boys.
Quick, someone spill a beer. That'll wake him up.
Yeah. He's always spilling beers.
Well, the big question this week on the internet is, who is Han Solo in The Force Awakens? We talked a little bit about Harrison Ford. And
who is Han Solo in The Force Awakens? It's Harrison Ford.
Okay, there you go. No.
Problem solved.
We Next. Talked in our last cast about Harrison Ford and J.J. Abrams and some of his advice as far as directing. Trying to get rid of the growl. Wanting Harrison Ford to channel his 1983 self and less of his 2015 self.
Marion.
Making Star Wars has an interesting article out this week about that very thing. And what they're talking about here is that, and from all accounts, we're hearing that Harrison Ford's character in The Force Awakens is going to be a pretty heavily used character. You know, of the three original, of the original threesome, as I like to say.
Yeah.
He is
gross.
Right.
Of the original threesome, he is going to be the one that we're going to see more of, the most of.
Right.
So,
which in, the cover of Vanity Fair featuring him.
Yep.
The trailer featuring him.
Yep.
All of that seems to confirm.
Yep. Sure does.
So
sure
far.
Does. So, the big question.
And no Leia that, so far. What's up with that?
No,
well,
Leia,
maybe her hand.
None. No, I don't think that was her hand.
I'm just saying.
I do.
Well, we'll debate that here in just a moment. But
my sister has
Making Star Wars is trying to make the case that we're Jane. Probably going to see a lot more of a sensitive and emotional Han Solo in this film than perhaps that we've seen.
He probably
before.
Has a lot more reason to be sad.
And why would those reasons be? I wonder.
I'm
twins.
Sad.
Well,
I'm sad.
Jason. He's really upset with the fact that there's flow walking in the movie.
Now I'm happy.
It's like flow walking. What the hell's that?
I'm sad again.
Superstitions.
So I guess I want to pose this discussion topic to you guys. What do you think about an emotional Han Solo, and what are some of the triggers that would?
We got the full rumor months ago about the what's supposed to be like the climactic big scene at the end of the movie.
Yes,
and if that rumor were to be accurate,
can
I
you
would
remind
say
us of what the rumor was?
Oh boy,
we are in the rumor cast. So.
It is, but you know what? These are the ones that, like, we talk about. Whoa, here's a shot by shot explanation of the final scene. Where I'm going, that's not just rumors. That's just spoilers.
Well,
but
give us the
scene tended to lean towards, and those who, you know, I often refer to the fanboy wet dream.
Yeah,
And the fanboy wet dream was actually inspired in part by this scene. And in the fanboy wet dream, Kylo Ren is actually Han Solo's son.
What?
Yeah, Jason. Which, again, a lot Dark of things.
Darth Cicadas?
Yeah.
Darth
Cicadas. Shows up every 17 years and just eats the crap out of everything.
Yep.
I knew it.
You know, we've seen the old Rolling Stone cover where Adam Driver was wearing the Han Solo outfit.
Yes.
And it was very obvious how similar he was in features to young Harrison Ford and stuff like that.
Exactly. Mm-hmm.
And that was preceded by this scene, which tend to indicate that there's a scene at the end of the movie where a certain someone is facing a certain death at the hands of another certain someone. And the person on the precipice of death being Kylo Ren. Yeah, and Han Solo convinces the certain someone not to kill him because it's his son.
I think that's where the hand is being placed on a droid scene.
That could be
from the trailer.
It could be. Teaser. It could be near that, in and about that part of the part of the movie. So the if that were to be the case, you know, and also the scene was at that point, Han is like wounded and like down. You know,
possibly
grasping for life himself.
Give up the ghost, right?
So they actually used his injury in the story.
No, I'm injured. What?
He used his injury on set in the story.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, oh, we're changing the story now.
Write it in.
That's some good acting right there.
But so I would say, obviously, that would be an obvious emotional trigger point for Han Solo, potentially. Other ones could be, I could see him like, you know, right after the Chewie, we're home, you know, just like suddenly just like going over and just like snuggling with the Deja Arc table and stuff like that.
And, you know, I could totally see Han getting emotional after, you know, being back on a ship he owned for so long.
Yeah.
Yeah. Or he sees that the dish on the top is rectangular instead of circular.
What
happened?
Like, in a lone tear.
Scratch. I said,
a single tear rolls down his cheek.
Yeah.
Lando.
I'll get you.
Hey, I got a fake rumor. Ready?
Ooh, I like
fake rumor of the week. Fake rumor of the week. You guys ready?
Fake rumor of the week.
Fake rumor of the week. Chewy subtitles.
How awful would that be?
I would walk out.
And can we spread this rumor convincingly?
Take to Twitter. Steve Potter. We got to start that.
Okay, hashtag.
I hit the button and Howie immediately rolled his eyes and he got interrupted.
No, hashtag. Chewy subtitles.
Yeah, hashtag all over Chewy Twitter. Subtitles.
Latest rumor.
Yeah, tweet us at Fly Casual rumor. Hashtag Chewy subtitles at Fly Casual 1138.
In fact, put in a subtitle that Chewy would say.
Yes, please tweet us what you think the very first subtitle that would appear on screen in The Force Awakens and hashtag Chewy subtitles at Fly Casual 1138.
We okay, so, from you, so we've got Han Solo.
They're all in Wookiees.
They're all in truck,
right?
No, I would laugh if that was the case.
So
and it just says roar at the bottom of the screen.
Some of the other things that we haven't hit on yet, things like possible marital problems with Leia. We haven't hit Daisy Ridley yet. There's the possibility that she's his daughter.
I think it actually might be that there's Jar Jar Bones in the movie.
Yeah, Jar Jar Bones. He sees Jar Jar's bones and he gets just really happy.
Okay. We got to hit the Jar Jar Bones.
Troubles. Come on, get happy.
All right. So this is our aside. Okay. J.J. Abrams actually in the Vanity Fair article mentions Jar Jar Binks.
Yes.
And said that he considered killing off Jar Jar, putting his bones in the desert of Jakku.
Yeah. He didn't say anything about actually killing him, but he said, yeah, we thought about putting Jar Jar's bones over there.
He said about five people would see it and love it, you know, and then that would be the end of it. But
yeah.
He didn't actually say he went through with those.
Yeah, yeah. Those Everyone's
going to be looking.
I thought that was pretty bold of him to say. At some point,
that's literally a middle finger to George Lucas.
Yes, I that's not good.
Yeah.
I'm glad they refrained.
Yeah, if they refrained.
We don't know.
By the way, if they didn't, I'm glad about that, too. Just saying.
So anyway, so back to Han Solo. So I, you know, here we go. Possible marriage problems, couple of kids, you know, he may or may not know about.
Raging syphilis.
Yeah, raging syphilis.
I'm sorry, space syphilis. Yeah. Dang it. Garrick was right there.
Space syphilis. Oh,
yeah. Yes. No delay today.
No, sir.
Okay, so with that said, I mean, you know, we're used to a very cocky and brash and very self-confident Han Solo. And to hear these possible, I'm not sure what to think about this.
I'm really worried that he's gonna. That Han Solo gets reunited with his daughter that he hasn't seen in forever, you know. And there's Rey, and Han Solo walks up, and there's just a little too long of a lingering shoulder grab.
Oh no!
You know what I mean? What I've got in my head, like the awkward dad smile, but like the like blood grip of claw into the shoulders, and just kind of the. That look, and you're just like, all right, let her go. Just let her, give her a hug, but just quit with the shoulder squeeze.
Okay, if you remember back in the Thrawn trilogy.
You mean forward.
No longer canon, but oh, yes, yeah, go
back
ahead.
Back in the Thrawn trilogy.
Han was a bit more like that.
Like what? Exactly.
Emotional. I wouldn't say emotional, but he was more concerned. Like
oh yeah!
Leia
I mean, yeah. In the EU,
sure. Thinking of Barbara Hambly novels.
Yeah. No, that was just a lot of ass.
No, yeah, exactly. I was just saying that was a lot of butt grabbing and stuff like that. No,
it was definitely him worried about her going to the Nogri planet.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Hanogar.
Yep.
I honestly, oh man, I can't get my mind off Barbara Hambly and the butt play that was constantly going between the buggering that was going on between Han and Leia. Oh my heavens. Anyhow, I just realized I said butt play and buggering, and those are synonyms for each other, and neither of which I meant. So,
okay. So the question is,
breezes right past it. He's like, all right, pass that.
So, but the question is, I mean, are we going to buy that? Are we going to buy an overly sensitive Han Solo?
Okay. Overly sensitive?
You can write him that way, and you can tell Han Solo not to be, you can tell Harrison Ford not to be so growly. He's still going to be an old Harrison Ford.
Old coot.
An old coot. Yeah. He's going to be an old codger. I can fly this thing. Hey, yeah. Just fire it up. Yeah. Let me get out and push.
Yeah. I mean, any thoughts on that? I mean, it seems odd to me. It feels a little weird, but
I don't think so. I don't know.
I think it's being overstated just to make the point clear.
Yeah.
That's what it sounds like. Well,
and if he is a father, that does change.
It does.
A lot of people.
It does. Changed me, gotta say.
That you blood, too. That claw grip into the shoulders. You might really groan.
Couldn't be kind more of creepy.
Couldn't be more proud.
Well, it's not growly now. So.
Is that better?
Faster, more intense.
All right. So if we don't have any more comments on Han Solo being, Mr. Sensitive, middle age, or
Mr. Sensitive. Oh yeah. Oh yeah. He's a Buddhist guru at this point. Yeah. Just Han Solo talking about reaching your inner feelings and stuff like that.
Okay. Well, then how do you feel about Boba Fett then?
I think Boba Fett would be really great at reaching his inner peers.
Do you like a sensitive Boba Fett?
A sensitive Fett?
Maybe.
Kind of cried. El Fenerino.
His dad's head got chopped off, right?
Did he cry? I don't remember seeing a tear.
He put the helmet to his own head.
He did.
Yeah, that was creepy.
Just the helmet. Thankfully, it wasn't his decapitated
head. That's the thing. Every time I watch it, when his head actually taps the helmet, I expect the head to roll out.
That would be.
No, you don't remember.
Pretty cool.
In the shadow, when he actually cuts it off, you see the head leave the helmet.
Oh, okay. No, I guess I've never paid that much attention.
Pay attention next time. You see the head come out of the helmet.
Watch that movie again, sure.
Yeah. Okay. I will at some point. I will. I'll watch it again, and then I'll try not to get cranky.
Yes,
his head was CG. I'm guessing.
There was not a single bit of Boba Fett or Jango Fett in that movie. Those two.
I think they just scanned everybody's head. I think everything was.
Yeah, that's to be a part of Star Wars. First, you have to do is sign an NDA and then have your right hand and your head scanned.
How did it not win Best Animated Feature? That's how
the writing. It was the writing.
Oh, that's gotta be it. Shrek came out that year, didn't it?
Yeah. Oh. Shrek the third.
That's a low blow. For all the shade we throw at the prequels, that was the lowest. Wow.
Okay, so
that's true.
So we know the first anthology movie is going to be Rogue One, which is going to be, this is turning into the heist movie about getting the Death Star plans.
See, he said heist movie this time. Last time he yelled at me.
I know. I'm just, that's what the rumors are. It's going to be the heist movie with the pilots.
And Kyle Katarn. Blah, blah,
blah. And possibly. Yeah,
if we say it enough times, they have to do it.
Moldy Crow. So now that that's out in the open, so of course now all the attentions are going to the second anthology movie,
right?
The one which Josh Trank just left from our last cast.
And they're talking about it's rumored that he necessarily didn't leave.
That he might have been shown the door quite gracefully. Yeah. You know,
I hadn't heard that. I read an article with him being interviewed.
That's Hollywood.
His take on it is that he wanted to do his own thing.
Yeah, no, his take on it was that he wanted to explore some more original blah blah blah. That's just your same old byline.
Oh, of course.
But to Howie says, I hadn't read anything that expressly said that he might have been shown the door, but when I was reading about him leaving, everything to me was flashing in red neon lights. Dude got fired.
There's stuff out there now on the internet that is there. That's
Do you think
the initial impression I got?
Do you think people they fire from these Star Wars projects actually have the kind or happy Harrison Ford do it for them? They're just so shocked they don't even
more sensitive.
He walks into their office and he goes, "Let's have a seat on the couch." And then the music starts playing.
Getting fired. Aha.
They sit down like Danny and Stephanie Tanner. You know what I mean?
It's like, we really care about you. Yeah.
We've nothing but positive things to say, but here's a box, clear out your desk. Don't let the door hit you in the ass. No, the kinder, here's more. Oh yeah, right, kinder. God, dang it.
So of course
we love you.
Of course now we're back to this being a bounty hunter movie. And we've kind of come full circle on this, too. I mean, this take on Boba Fett has kind of gone all over the place. And the latest of the latest is that, which seems weird to me, but the latest of the latest is that it's going to be an origination story for Boba Fett, which
I'm still completely uninterested
in. Right. And I think Corey's kind of pointed out, yeah, it's like, don't we know that story?
Yeah, they're basically going to reshoot the whole, you know.
This time the head pops out of the helmet.
No, I mean, obviously what they're talking about is from Geonosis forward is what we're going to see.
Yeah. Was the splut sound effect too much for you? The Garfield splut?
That did it.
Tongue hanging out.
I guess there is something to explore in that time period, because somehow he went from this whiny little kid to the...
What is it with whiny little kids in Star Wars?
Well-known Wizards. Bounty hunter ever in the whole galaxy.
I didn't find him that whiny at all. I mean, people say that a lot, and I think that
he was like, Dad, I Tom Lee's here.
I think,
Dad,
I no, no, okay, that's not a thing that happened. There, that's not a thing. I think, you know, people are like, unfortunately, misprojecting. You know, Jake Lloyd and Hayden Christensen's, you know, take on Anakin onto the kid what played Boba Fett, where I felt like he was just a kid. I actually felt like he was actually trying to bro it up a little too hard. Like for being a little kid, he was trying to talk in his little register. Hey, Dad, you know, hey, you know, I was just going to go work out a little bit. You know which way in the weight room?
You know, over there.
Yeah, I felt like the kid was trying to, you know, and his dad's over there looking at the window. Oh, don't try the weight room bit.
Get him!
I'm sorry.
I your beach ball. Oh, you did.
I felt like he was not great, but fine.
Yeah, well,
you know, but yeah, we also got Boba Fett in Clone Wars. I feel like we bridged the gap.
Give me more Boba Fett. That's what I say.
Everybody else is going to say, Corey. I'm sorry.
I'd be more interested in Boba Fett as an old man. Sorry.
Speaking not going to happen. Which, they're gonna,
have you heard the rumors?
What?
You stumped the rumorman.
Yes. You don't have this on your rumor list.
Maybe not.
/.
Okay. Well, that would be Steve Potter.
Okay. Oh. There's a huge rumor that came out.
You about threw Boba Fett shade at Stevie.
And, I did.
Yep. A certain someone playing Boba Fett in The Force Awakens.
Yep.
A certain someone named Max von Sydow.
Wow.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
He's very tall and pale.
Well, I think we said we had an earlier rumor cast where one of us predicted that. And I think our philosophy was behind it is that he had his head in the helmet so long.
That he just got really pale.
Out.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, the accounts about Max von Sydow's character is that we've seen the concept art. Some people attributed the disfigured person to Luke and Kylo Ren, but some of the rumors were also that it was Max von Sydow.
Yeah, from the very start. Yeah.
Right, which would kind of make sense to me the most, because if he was in the Sarlacc pit for a little bit.
Little bit,
you know, that
kind of digested an eyeball
a little
or
bit,
two.
Yeah, maybe melted a little bit of skin and,
you know. And then, the eight thermal detonators he blew up in it, cannon. That's cannon.
It is now.
Cannon. I'm out of here.
I don't mind that. I mean, but it is really weird. It's still really weird that, we go from white guy to Kiwi back to white guy again,
Yeah.
Don't you think?
Sort of, I guess. I don't know. I don't know what to say about it, man. Because I think we brought up that point before.
Let me put it this way. Before Boba Fett became a Kiwi, I would be totally on board with Max von Sydow playing an old Boba Fett. But now I'm kind of like, well, that doesn't make any sense to me.
Have you seen the set pictures of the dude playing Boba Fett with the helmet off, just like standing around talking?
No.
It's hilarious. It's a dude with a mustache and like slightly balding with these huge glasses. Right.
Yeah.
It ruined it for me.
Boba Fett's not cool anymore.
You look like an accountant.
So
red on his ledger.
So a couple of questions then. I mean, okay, the anthology movie itself of being about Boba Fett. I mean, any surprises there? I mean, because there was
a
lot of people talking about, remember Han Solo, that we were going to get a young Han Solo movie. So now that's completely off the table.
Even if it were never a rumor before and we were hearing it for the first time, it's still not a surprise.
Yeah.
Boba Fett's an easy well to go to. It was a lot of people's favorite character when it came out, just because he was different and he was tough and we knew nothing about him and he's dead.
Okay, then.
He was not one of the main characters, but still fascinating. And most of the populace has not had any exposure to any type of story for him, except in the prequels now. So, of course, it's a gimme, but that's what I don't like about
it. Okay, so let me ask you this then. Would you rather say, I'm going to ask this of everybody, Corey first.
Get him out of the way.
Yeah. Han Solo or Boba Fett? Which one do you want to see?
Our origin story?
A movie. Doesn't matter if it's origin or not.
I'd rather see Boba Fett as an old dude with his own story, but okay, I would
too
but,
much Garrick.
No, but no, I got one more sentence. Less than that, but more than seeing a young Boba Fett origin story, I would rather see a Han Solo origin. If it has to be an origin story, I'd rather it be Han Solo.
Okay, Garrick, that was a cop out. That wasn't even
your
an
butt's
answer.
A okay, cop
Fett.
Out.
All the Fett, nothing but the Fett.
Steve,
that's all I want.
Right yeah, I agree with Garrick. I definitely want to see Fett, young Fett, and I want to see a
middle-aged Fett
series of movies from origin to death. 20 movies.
See, I mean, to me, Fett's the easy one too, because we know, I mean, okay, we've got him in movies.
You have his story.
Sort of. We don't have the gaps.
I mean, honestly, if they weren't bringing him back for Force Awakens, possibly, you've got him from like origin to death already.
In the EU, but that's gone. Yeah,
no,
that's,
you've got him originating in the movie. In episode two,
so we know he's a clone.
You know he's a clone. He's a kid in episode two. He's a teenager in the Clone Wars, and he dies in Return of the Jedi. If nothing else was in play, that's an origin to death.
But we already know he's back. That part's canon now.
That's true. We know he's lived more or less. But still,
there's not. I mean, we haven't got his story. We've got more Han Solo than we do Boba Fett.
You've got no Han Solo origin story. None, except that he owed money to Jabba.
That's not what Mike said. Mike said we have more of Han Solo.
I know, but I'm saying, but you have no Han Solo origin story. You got some great old books that don't matter anymore.
Oh, yeah. Those were good.
They were really, really good, but they don't matter anymore. Right now, you have got more info about Boba Fett's background than you do about Han Solo. All you've got of Han Solo is what he did for about 3 or 4 years of his life. And 1 year of that was hanging on Jabba's wall.
Well, if all this holds true, we're getting Boba Fett, whether we like it or
Boba
not.
Boba Fett.
Yeah. I'm not against it. I'm just disappointed by it. I mean, but the thing is, you know what? Rogue One makes it up to me. They're going out on a limb with Rogue One. They're going to have some original characters and stuff like that. So if the second one is a gimme, you know what? My life's not over. If they're waiting to the second one to do a gimme, cool.
Well, you're the one who doesn't like Kanan, so.
Yeah. You're just getting ganged up on this.
At least I like Rebels.
That's true. Mike doesn't like Rebels.
Mike hates Rebels.
Yeah, Mike does.
What's up with
He's the worst.
I don't know. He's a weirdo. Who's that guy? Oh, wait. Never mind.
Stupid Mike.
So, you know, remember that Vanity Fair magazine cover?
Right.
And Annie Leibovitz and, you know, she all the pictures she took and all that good stuff.
Yeah.
Well, she took some pictures of Lupita Nyong'o.
Right.
You know, we saw the other characters. You know, we saw Daisy Ridley in her little duds and
her little duds and
Han sitting next to her, you know, quietly caressing her arm. And
maybe her arm
is something.
Oh,
yeah. I'm saying.
Yeah. John Boyega kind of squished off in the corner.
Yeah, John Boyega practically being kicked out of the photo. No, I'm in the movie too.
I think Daisy Ridley just had gotten goosed by Harrison Ford.
And she kicked out a leg like Cocker Spaniel style.
She moved forward. That's why she's forward in the more.
I think that's
picture.
Chewbacca. And she kicked, Chewbacca is the one that's goosed her.
Well, Harrison probably told her to do that.
Yeah.
Let's move on from this. This is terrible.
No, Howie, explore.
Well, okay. So you got the hair of Chewbacca.
Anyway. Well, Lupita Nyong'o's character.
And we talked about this picture in the last episode. Now we have some more.
And if you remember, the picture basically has her in her mocap setup.
Mocap
where
face.
She's got dots just plastered all over her face and
By the way, this is creepy. She's still attractive, even with all those on her face.
She is a pretty woman.
She is so gorgeous.
Maybe even more so.
And even with all that crap on her face, it's like, how is she still gorgeous? She's almost more gorgeous now. It's like she's got this bioluminescent dots all over her face.
Corey, I want you to click on this article because we're going to be looking at pictures.
Oh, great. The listeners love this.
Yes.
Where am I going? Which one?
The one that says Lupita Nyong'o.
I can't read. I'm like Howie in books.
Yes, yeah. Indie Revolver.
Yeah, so
I didn't even know where the mouse cursor was on the screen, and you guys are like, yes. I'm like, what?
What?
Yeah.
Okay, so this particular character, it was nicknamed Rose for a while, but now it's come out that the name is actually Maz Kanata is the name of the character. Hmm. And
better Star Wars name than Poe Dameron.
It is indeed actually better Star Wars name than most of the new threesome.
Also, Moss is a name that's already been had by other characters like Mas Ameda.
Mas Ameda. Yep. You're right.
True.
Indeed. So there's consistency in the Star Wars universe. Thank you very much.
You know, that's Kanata, but that's almost like Katana.
Yeah, but
I was thinking it's like Tostada, but it's not. And I'm hungry.
So this particular character we know very little about. The little that we know is that this particular character is supposedly some sort of pirate of some sort.
Pirate!
And this particular character, supposedly this week, we've gotten a leak of some concept art. So if you go down to the bottom of the article, you'll see the concept art. So that's
you, the listener, if you scroll down to the bottom of the article.
If you go to betterkind.com and you go to the show notes, you can follow along with us.
It's the one that says Lupita Nyong'o, for those of you who have trouble finding what he's talking about.
For people like Corey, that can't read.
Can't read from across, like, 30 feet away.
So the concept art shows an alien with kind of greenish skin with a very long neck.
Very flat face.
Flat-faced, no nose.
Makeup that they had to apply.
Yeah, you know, you said they tried this with a puppet.
That was
not a monkey with a cane, but an actual puppet.
Not a monkey with a cane, no. A puppet, supposedly. So
probably just in concept.
So that we've got a little do-rag on her, that type of thing. So,
yeah.
And if you go to the image just above that, actually, and we'll reference it, this is the still from the trailer that Mr. Stephen J. Yeah. Howie was
referencing. And we even had a lot of discussion after we recorded about this. Classic
Stephen J. Howie.
About this picture.
Yeah. Yes. So you can see.
But I would like to point out that in this picture, there's a face in the background of the hand. Is that what we're seeing, or is the face supposed to be over here?
The face is over there, yeah.
It's well, not this right here.
No.
Because I see two eyes and a mouth right
that's
here.
That's a droid or something.
Really? Because I'm pretty sure that that's the bad guy from the Avengers. I'm just saying.
I believe
that's Thanos, actually. Thanos.
Oh, Thanos.
Thanos is right there in the background behind the arm. Yep, that's Thanos. He had to go to Star Wars to get the last of the soul gems.
That makes sense.
Yeah. So for those who are familiar with yourself. The trailer, those who
was in Luke's lightsaber the whole time.
There's the crossover bait right there.
There you go.
So yeah, in the far right on that lightsaber trade-off picture from the teaser, the screen still.
Right. We can kind of see an outline of a face that looks... Perhaps it's to me, it's so blurry. You can't really tell for sure,
yeah.
But the people that believe that this is this character, you know, are pointing to, this is Lupita Nyong'o's character and that the face looks alien to them. Even though if you look at the hand and the arm, they look very human to me, but, so anyway,
skinny, but human.
Right. Right. Exactly.
So, and this character, this character concept is a very skinny looking type character.
Yeah. Yeah. So, I don't know.
So humans can only have arms that look like that?
That have arms that look like humans.
Yeah.
Yeah. What is it? Star Trek?
Thumbnail and all that stuff.
What is Star Trek? Hey, we need another species, another alien species. Quick, just take a person and put a line under their eye. Done. Yep.
Yeah.
Alien species wears blue lipstick. Yeah, I'm still
in the camp that this is definitely possibly.
Definitely possible.
Well, I'm not saying
it can't be.
I would say from the rumors that we heard that this is plausible. I mean, I'm looking at, it's hard to see on the big screen over here, but on my iPad here, the picture I'm looking at. It's
hard to see on the 103 inch screen.
Yeah, that's very far away and you're looking through obstacles and everything and you keep bitching about how you can't see it.
Hey, yeah,
but you're not. That screen.
But you're not. I'm looking through you, mofo.
Guys, so, don't have me bring Harrison Ford in here to sell this.
Anyway, I think it's completely plausible that Lupita Nyong'o's character, this, you know, Kanata character, is the one handing off the lightsaber to who is presumed to be the Daisy Ridley character in the trailer.
But he says, my sister has it.
I understand that.
Well, it's getting handed to another female.
Yeah, I know. And then people were assuming that it was being handed to Leia because of the my sister has it. But as we pointed out, it looks like a very young hand.
Well, I still think it looks like it could be an older hand. So
yeah, I have no opinion either way on the recipient. Yeah,
I could definitely take it either way. So
the only thing that would guide me would be the dialogue. My sister has it.
Yeah.
That's the only thing that would make me think.
Yeah. And I'm not necessarily convinced that this is her character that she's playing there, but if she's a space pirate
and
they found the lightsaber, you know, being pirates and all.
Yeah. They're always finding stuff like
exactly.
that.
Exactly.
Seriously. Do you guys ever see Pirates of the Caribbean where they just kept pulling swords out of the water and be like, what is this about?
Not just swords, lightsabers.
In Pirates of the Caribbean. Yep. Disney Infinity 3.0.
Okay, so a couple questions for you guys.
Thanos looks pissed. I'm sorry.
You know, as far as the trailer is concerned, I think it's plausible that that's her character in the trailer.
Yeah.
What we know about the character so far, you know, the pirate, apparently she has a castle. She sounds like a Jabba the Hutt type character, probably on Jakku.
How many pirates have castles back in Earth history?
I don't know.
Seems to be pretty popular. I mean, if she was running like the Lord of a smuggling ring, that's one thing. But a pirate, I consider someone that flies around and steals stuff.
Well, we say castle, but
maybe she's retired.
What does that really even mean?
Well, no, I mean, there's in the Caribbean. I mean, I visited Blackbeard's castle when
Blackbeard. Sure, throw Edward Teach out there and trump everybody.
Sorry,
thanks
man.
A lot, Mike.
Oh man,
flex my history muscle. You proud
just
of me,
saying.
Garrett?
I am proud of you.
Yeah.
Anyway, so good. it's plausible, definitely. Now, what do you guys think though about taking a an actress of Lupita Nyong'o's repute and sticking her in a character that's CGI.
Let's be realistic. I'm thinking that character is going to get less than 5 minutes screen time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And having said that, there better be some kick butt facial animations that don't overstay their welcome or overstate themselves to actually make it. Man, I hope it's worthwhile. That's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
And this could be a character that comes back in the future movies to play a bigger role. So who knows? But I mean, you would think that's the case, given the
amount of attention given to her face and
exactly. What we see. Well, and also the level of Lupita Nyong'o is not a B movie actress that's stepping up to be in Star Wars.
Did she win the Academy Award?
Yeah, she got Best Supporting Actress for 12 Years a Slave.
Right.
Is it 12 years? 12 years. 12 Years a Slave. Good movie. She was excellent. And she's really good. She's really beautiful, which is another reason that it's funny that you're not going to see her.
Right.
You know, so it's they've got to be doing this for a good reason. So even if we don't get a lot of it in this movie, I think we're going to probably see more of that.
Couldn't they have just used Andy Serkis in this role? Sorry.
Here's a lightsaber. Gollum, Gollum.
I don't know. Interesting choice. I really feel like that this character is going to be, and I think I mentioned in the last cast that, you know, and I don't mean to make this point a funny point or anything, but this is going to be the difference between what Lucas was able to do with Jar Jar Binks in the prequels versus what J.J. Abrams is going to be able to do with the same type of character, which would be a fully, you know, digitally animated character on screen. You know, it's going to be interesting to see, you know, we already know how Lucas pulled it off. It'll be interesting to see. I mean, to me, this is
Mike
pulled something off.
Did he really?
He pulled something off, right?
Yeah, I've said it before, but I think I've only said it really once. And I want to drive this point home. If you're going to use CG, do something that you can do in real life, but it's cheaper. If you're doing something you can't do in real life, you got to be real careful, because if a person cannot look at something and have a real life context to compare it to, then it just looks like fantasy. You know, when Harry Potter is on top of a troll's head getting tossed around in the bathrooms in, you know, looks in the Sorcerer's Stone, it looks like trash because you can't actually put a kid on something like that and wave him around like a bucking bronco in a mechanical bull. And also fabric, for some reason, everyone in Hollywood thought they could CG fabric for about 15 years before they actually could. Yeah. And so it's
burly brawl.
Everything was just fuzzy rubber in every movie. And so anytime they're like, well, we can't actually put an actor on this, it's like, you know what? If you can build it, you better do it, because it'll look better as a piece of crap prop than it will.
So
as
you're
CG.
Skeptical. You're skeptical about how this is going to turn out.
I think this is going to turn out well, but I don't know how timelessly it will be. I don't know how timeless it will be. I mean,
I think we mentioned that in the last cast. Yeah. You mentioned Lord of the Rings.
Was amazing when it came out and looks like garbage now. Well, not garbage. That's too harsh. But it's very, very staggeringly distracting.
Yeah,
now.
It can be.
And, you know, I was reading.
Well, and The Hobbit looked like garbage.
And that was day one, though.
I know. I was reading and looked at some videos of DirectX 12.
Wait, no, that's not press play to save. How it's like casual,
but the stuff that they're doing now is
that a spaceship?
Pretty amazing.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's you know, they're definitely making leaps every year with this kind of stuff. So it's been enough time that, hey, we might see something great.
Well, I think the difference is here. If you have this character that has a like an elegant charisma, which I would say is Lupita Nyong'o, and is definitely elegance and charisma, you know, if that's what this character is supposed to be, that's completely different than a big floppy eared, floppy nosed, floppy tongued moron electrocuting himself, flopping around, stepping in poop, and just doing a bunch of dopey, nonsensical stuff that looks dumb because it can look dumb. You know what I mean? Whereas this is like, if you're going to do something that's very subtle because there's beauty in the subtlety, I think that's something that they can do right.
Yeah. And I think this is very intentional on their part. And I think that's what we'll see.
Yeah. 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 Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm hopeful. I really am.
Are you not entertained by our answers, Mike?
Gladiator.
Flashbacks.
Dun, 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 flow walks. They're called flow walks.
Yeah, come on, Mike.
You know, everybody's big on these flashbacks are going to be happening right in The Force Awakens, right?
Yeah, big on not.
Yeah, so...
no flashbacks in Star Wars. Hashtag Chewy subtitles.
Well, and I think this... I read an article that said no flashbacks, and it was Billy Lord saying... I'm not going to play Leia in a flashback.
Well, here's the thing. It's not necessarily that we won't see flashbacks, but the latest news this week is that, yes, Billie Lord has been interviewed for another movie that she's in. And, of course, Star Wars came up in the conversation. And I probably should read her quote here. But in short...
But screw that.
But screw that. Yes. I think the question was, from what I understand, you play a young Princess Leia. And Billy Lord says, that's a lie. That's a rumor. I wish I played a young Princess Leia. Disney, I'm available. So seems to be shooting down the fact that what a lot of people have assumed is that she would be playing the body double of Princess Leia in a flashback.
When we called these rumors out early on in our podcasting history, we talked about them a lot and we talked about how dumb it would be. And we talked about frustration over, and we talked about, whether flashbacks have a place in Star Wars because that's not the style of Star Wars. But we also said right off the bat that that's probably not true because she doesn't look anything like her mother whatsoever.
Right. Right.
And so, we were very, very quick to go, it's probably bull crap. Who knows? Maybe they actually needed a stunt person for Leia and Billy Lord's the same height.
Yeah,
you wouldn't think so because obviously she's a bit stockier.
I don't think so. I think
From the comic, they're going to do a lot of stunts. Right?
Yeah. Now, I think the justification before, if she was going to be playing her in a flashback, is they use her as the body and then digitally, reconstruct Carrie Fisher's 1983 face over her.
By the way, that technology is not there yet.
No, it's
not. It is very. Time that works is when it's a very still scene. And they've made it work in a few movies, but very sparingly.
Good to hear that she's not actually going to be doing that. That she's going to be playing something else. So
actually, the places where movies have done that are ones where you've never noticed because they don't ever say anything. Like there's been times where like actors have been injured and stuff like that, and they brought their faces in on a different scene or on a different actor.
Crow.
Well, yeah.
I haven't seen it. I don't think it's out, but Fast and Furious 7.
Yeah. Used, it's out.
Yeah.
Used the brother, Paul Walker's brothers to, but I don't know if you get it. They also patched or like cut in footage from other scenes and stuff like that. So they can do it. I've read before where it was done and I went, really? I never knew that happened when I saw a movie and I'm coming up blank for examples.
And if you don't make a point, then people aren't going to look for it.
Well, and the other thing is like, it's always a character who's just talking and holding still or something like that. They're also, there's times where they're really bad at it. I remember when I was watching The Sopranos. Wow, I just remembered this for the first time in a long time. And he's in his mother, Tony Soprano's in his mother's house. And she's always very abusive and very horrible to him and stuff like that. And she's sitting there talking to him and answering his questions really awkwardly. And I'm like, this doesn't look right. This is weird. What's happening? Her answers don't make sense. She doesn't look like something's wrong. Something's happening. And I immediately Googled, did the actress die? Yep, she died. And they had made this scene. And later on in that episode, the character dies. Mm. And I was like, yep, I knew that just from how poorly done, now granted, that's a TV show that was probably working on a super tight schedule and everything like that. But it's got to be real, real intentional when they do it to make it work right. Like you can't just shoehorn it.
Right.
And so when you say, they're going to film all these scenes and then just patch your face in, I'm like, that's more something I would think they would do out of like necessity because of something that happens or changes rather than something that someone would plan to do. Am I wrong on that? I don't know. Mike's gone silent and gone for a break.
I think we've beat this one to death.
He's playing with his toys.
It's Billy Lord. Why are we even talking about this still?
Yeah. She don't matter, except the fact that apparently she's in Star Wars.
She is. She's still in Star Wars. She's just not playing her mom.
Yeah, she's not playing her mom.
She might have been in one of those costumes in the...
could be. She could be the chick droid.
Bet she is. That's it. Heard it here first.
That's right. Well, ladies and gentlemen, it's been another rousing episode. Rousing episode.
Is that how you would characterize this?
Okay. Rousing. Well, I may have murdered it at the end there, but up until then, it was rousing, Michael. And please follow us on Twitter at FlyCasual1138, where
Steve, our foreign correspondent in the UK,
is doing a lovely job of curating all of these wonderful things and goodies and hitting the web as quickly as they come out. So if you want to get all the latest news and rumors as it's happening, hey, sometimes you follow what's going on Twitter. By the time you hear us talking about it on the podcast, you'll be like, oh, yeah, I know that picture. I don't have to look up these 13 pictures they're talking about in this podcast episode, because you'll already be completely familiar with it by following us there. Also follow us on Facebook, like us on Facebook, facebook.com/flycasualpodcast. And for all this stuff that we talk about, jump on betterkind.com, pull up the episode on the show notes, and you can click into the links and see more of the meaty goodness of some of the stuff that we, well, really almost all the stuff that we talk about, except for our tangential things. Tangential. It's okay, because it's gentle. It's gentle in
very,
it.
It's tange,
yeah,
but it's gentle.
By the way, Howie, I have no idea what you were saying, because there were no subtitles when you were growling just now.
The subtitle would just be,
yeah, it says, and then dot, 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 question marks. Apparently it was a question.
Yeah.
Now, I got it that time. I speak Howie's. So, in the meantime, thank you so much for coming along. Tune in next time, where we will be talking about news and more toys and collectibles. Am I right, gentlemen?
Toys.
Is that what the plan is? I don't know.
News. That's the plan. Mike's checked out. I better get him out of here. I think we need to spill another beer on him. In the meantime, I'm Corey. That over there is Mike.
Nighty night.
That over there is Howie.
Episode 9, Josh Whedon.
Also, yeah, he wants it, doesn't he?
It's all over the internet.
Yeah, he said he would. He said when everybody was coming down on him about Ultron and the Black Widow thing or something like that, he said, yeah,
I'm
done with this. I'm done with this, but I'd love to get involved in Star Wars. I'd love to see him. I'd love to see him on an anthology.
That's the rumor.
Give him an anthology.
Do you think he'd want to do a Boba Fett? You think he'd want to do a Boba Fett movie?
I think he would want to do a Star Wars movie.
Yeah, but I don't think he'd want to do a Boba Fett movie. Yeah, he'd want to do an ensemble film. Yeah, that's his bread and butter, man. That's what he's good at. That's his thing.
Why wouldn't Boba Fett have
an entourage?
I'm just kidding.
Yeah. That question kind of answers itself, doesn't it? Over there is Garrick.
Is this the point where I start talking about Lords of the Sith?
Yeah, probably.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, and also,
about time.
So, but then, in my head, Garrick's just going to keep talking while I take the show out. Hey, I do want to do a quick shout out to Fly Casual Superfan and West Coast Correspondent, or what are we called? I don't even know where he lives.
West Coast Correspondent Torpedo Ted in Seattle, Washington.
Yeah, I want to do a little shout out to him. He's been sending me some pictures and stuff. Some of the, I guess I would classify it as fan art and stuff like that, that he's got going on. And we really appreciate it. We get a big kick out of that. So, hey, if anybody out there's got anything like that, send it to us. We like that stuff. Makes us feel good.
Yeah, maybe we'll feature it on the podcast. The audio podcast will somehow...
Maybe on the audio podcast, we'll show you the picture.
Well, I've thought about putting a section up on the website for like fan art and stuff like that. You know,
the joke was that it was an audio.
Yeah,
as long as a fan art features me.
I know. I'm transcending your joke.
Okay.
It's transcendence, Howie, not imminence. Theology. Jelly.
I got some. Oh.
Jelly, guys.
Yeah, I got some theology for you.
Oh,
jelly.
No.
Jelly?
Put that back in Garrick's pants he's not wearing.
Cherry jelly for you.
Oh, again.